This is It's Okay That You're Not Okay, and I'm your host, Megan Devine. This week on the show, part two of my stellar conversation with historian and author Dr. Kate Bowler. It's a re-release of one of your favorite episodes from season one, complete with listener Q&A. All of that coming up right after this first break.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get started, two quick notes. One, this episode is an encore performance. I am on break working on a giant new project, so we're releasing a mix of our favorite episodes from the first three seasons of the show. This episode is from season one, in which I answered listener questions, sometimes on my own, sometimes with a guest. So if you want more of these Q&A style episodes, you can find the entire collection from season one wherever you get your podcasts. Second note. While we cover a lot of emotional, relational territory in our time here together, this show is not a substitute for skilled support with a licensed mental health provider or for professional supervision related to your work. I really want you to take what you learn here, take your thoughts and your reflections out into your own world, and talk about it all. All right, everybody, welcome back. I'm glad you're still here with Kate Bowler and I talking about New Year's Eve and the change of the Gregorian calendar. And resolutions is what we're going to talk about next. So this next listener question is related to something I want to spend a good chunk of time on. The new year, and specifically the end of the new year, is about setting resolutions. Usually resolutions to become better and better versions of yourself, which honestly, when you think about it, is kind of rude. This idea that you need to take some inventory, figure out where you're screwing things up, and commit to doing them better. So I could rant on this for a while, but I want to read you something from Kate's book, No Cure for Being Human, from the introduction. as I think Kate talks about this really well here. American culture has popular theories about how to build a perfect life. You can have it all if you just learned how to conquer your limits. There is infinity lurking somewhere at the bottom of your inbox or in the stack of self-help books on the bedside table. It taunts you as you grip the steering wheel in traffic, attempting your new breathing practice, or in the pre-dawn minutes when you could be working out. I've seen these guides to endless progress for sale in airport kiosks. Some are written by spiritual guides promising to reveal God's single plan and purpose for my life. Trust God and the path will reveal itself. Other books call for wild action. There are oceans to plumb and mountains to climb and planes to exit midair. Carpe diem! Try the 4-hour work week to escape the daily grind or check out the latest research on eliminating distraction. There are bucket lists galore with glossy photographs of thrills and architectural wonders, calendars with rituals to eradicate inefficiencies, and writing journals juiced with visionary wisdom from gurus and titans of industry. There are formulas for a meaningful life, how to live one, and how to end one. But the truth is somewhere inside me. There is no formula. We live and we are loved and we are gone. And you can hear it in my voice, everybody. That's a rough passage. Aww. It's a beautiful passage. And I think it's really appropriate as we walk into the changing of the calendar, the changing of the year, and talking about this relentless annual need to write down the ways that we're failing. Let's talk about that. Nice emotional intro for you. Handing that right off.
Well, and thank you for like loving me in that. That is just, that means so much to me. Cause when we think about what we could do, like how we could stretch and flex and try, like we're also just like overwhelmed with a feeling of finitude, with our limits, with our resources, which are our feeling that we're always hoping for something. And it's almost like we can feel the leash kind of pulled back on us over and over and over again. And it's like a category in my head I sort of think about is we're given a story about unlimited agency. Just everything is going to be bigger, better, best life now. And New Year's resolutions are like that in a nutshell, is you're always going to be better. And then you know, we know intuitively that we don't want the opposite. We don't want nothing can ever be better. Despair, we're very concerned. Americans are always very concerned. They'll immediately slide into despair. But the feeling in the middle is like, how can we come up with some version of like limited agency? The feeling like it is okay to be inside of numbered days, inside of our fragile bodies, that a friend can read a passage from you and know that like that hope is really hard if it's found at all. So I feel such a struggle every time we get to the new year because I love the feeling of trying, like that open lane feeling, like wind in your sails, kind of go, go, go. And then I'm also just aware that this has been a season and a long stretch of a lot of accumulating losses. And so each little hope feels a little extra tender right now.
And that's a beautiful lead into our next question, which is really a question about the impossibility of hope.
Mm.
Yeah. So this question is from a healthcare worker. They just noted that they were a healthcare worker. They didn't say what industry or which kind of healthcare worker. And here's their question. Can you two talk about the weight of yet another year of COVID ahead of us with no end in sight? The grief of giving so much as providers with little progress towards any resolution of the virus. The loss of continued moral support or even respect towards healthcare workers from the general public. How do we realistically face what we know is coming and still find hope in a new year ahead? Will next year be better? Will it bring more grief and endless death? How do I find motivation to create goals for myself in a new year when this is what I live?
I mean, spoken like someone who knows the cost of trying and then seeing everything treadmill style slide back right to a standstill. It's also such a special quality of the people that I've met in healthcare who they have a wonderful bravery about them where they, it's like a bright clarity, like other people can afford to be kind of delusional about what everything costs, like all the tiny little, and it'll be this, like this pace in the ER, and it will be this amount of turnover of rooms, and it will be this holding this person's hand. Like it is, it's just, it's one thing to say, oh, let's talk about optimism. And it's a very different thing to say, let's talk about optimism with someone who genuinely understands the cost and feels like they have hit every branch on the way down. I was in the hospital for something recently, and I was just supposed to pass over that in silence. But I had this wonderful nurse who I got to know overnight, because that's, you know, when you live in the ER for a little bit, you really get to know your people. And she had just lost her husband. She was in her 30s, and she said, I don't know how to describe what it's like for me to be here, because being here, in a way, everything makes sense. Like I like the logic of suffering is everywhere, and I feel it, and I feel myself of service. Like it was such a gorgeous, brave, cool, terrible thing to say and know. And yet I know she needs to go home and make dinner and take care of kids and move the weight of her life forward in light of what she knows. And that's what that question reminds me of, is like, for the person who has borne the greatest cost, how much will a little more hope cost me? And unfortunately, I think hope is very expensive. And I would only make one distinction. I would just say it is okay to let go of the exhausting optimism that our culture feeds us. It is really okay to let go. Like there's no version of crowding onto the happy side of the spectrum that is anything more than a burden to someone like that who knows. And yet we are creatures of hope, and that we need little, beautiful, glittering truths in our lives that can pull us forward into a future we can barely look at directly. So part of it for me is just defining what hope means to me. Hope is, if it's not blind optimism, what lovely truths are enough to feel like they can carry me into a new year.
I love that. It brings me back to what we were talking about earlier with the math of suffering, right? And, you know, we're doing a lot of emotional cost benefit analysis here.
Yes.
Right? Like what does optimism cost me? What does hope cost me? And I also really like how beautifully you framed the dissonance between our cultural belief in optimism and possibility and the right mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And how not just hollow, but utterly, completely freaking useless that mindset is when you know the kinds of things that this person, this listener knows, when you know what you know, Kate, about how little control we have over good things happening or even bad things happening, but like the amount of control or the amount of effect that optimism has for us. And you mentioned this actually a few minutes ago. We don't just have that binary of two options. If you're not being optimistic, you're being pessimistic, and therefore you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Right?
I think that's sort of our default when we hear somebody struggling, especially with something like what this listener described, which I know is the experience for a lot of healthcare workers right now, the temptation to be like, find some beauty in there, find some optimism, find what moves you forward, all of these things. And it sort of skips over the fact that there is an emptiness below being empty.
Yeah.
And that is where a lot of people live, right?
Yeah. It must be strange when the suffering makes sense, like it's like, well, a certain kind of wisdom, right? And you're in your job and you're like, wow, all this suffering really makes sense. I know how to live here like this.
Yeah.
And I also need to have a feeling of small agency, the dignity of being able to make choices and then see them come to fruition. The like that grace of a little bit of like existential rest that we all need. It's such a unique, I don't know, existential weight to this very hope expensive profession.
Yeah.
Is to know then if we know that a certain version of optimism can be poison. We know that. And we also need to know that like some things are, I don't know, I always think of it kind of like graces, like they're just little, the things that are so good, they kind of just create a little boost in us. Like the feeling of being really like the particularity of us seen and loved, know, the like long glass of wine for me and like a friend where someone, where I get to the end of a thought and then I get to have another one, like the luxury of that, like those little graces feel to me like they're the kind of things that fuel hope in me. They let me feel like things could change. And we all need deep down to feel like even in the midst of so much stuckness, that things really can change even just a little.
Right. That we have some agency and that this, there's a stopping point or a rest stop, maybe not a stopping point. Yeah, I also really like that application there of these things, these tiny snippets of hope or beauty or rest or connection. They aren't cures for this. Having a really good tea date with an awesome friend who gets you is not going to fix the situation for healthcare workers, right? So we're not talking about applied hope as a solution. We're talking about companions. Like where is there another channel?
Yeah. Otherwise we'd have another formula. Because if there was a formula, we would have one.
Exactly.
But since there isn't, yeah.
Well, we do have math. Like we have the toxic math, right? Which says, think the right thoughts, focus on the positive, dream your best life, believe it to live it, all of these things, and then things will work out for the best. Like, and if they don't work out the way that you dreamed for, then something even bigger and better is happening. Like that is the math that we inherit and that we swim in, to mix some weird metaphors here. But that's toxic math, right? That's not real math.
Yeah.
I love this discussion, which is strange for me to say about a discussion about math, but I love this idea of the math of human suffering. And so hold that thought. Kate, we got to take an ad break. We will be right back. Stay tuned, friends.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
New Year's resolutions will just hand you one. They'll be like, congratulations. If you were 20 pounds lighter, you'd never be alone. You don't ever have to suffer from the fear of if you finally spend more quality time with your family, even though all you've been doing is spend time with your family in lockdown. I mean, there's just like a whole cluster of like tiny, exhausting formulas that tell you, you know, better you is around the corner. And I totally love that you were like, tea is not going to solve like, you know, job inequality, like lack of, like hours that afford us dignity and rest. I do love figuring out what counts as those, like the feeling, which is just so unique to us as little creatures, of like the things that make us feel like we are unclenching our fists. And for me, it is not solo kayaking. I tried solo kayaking last week. I FaceTimed someone in the middle of the lake.
Solo kayaking. I heard you say solar clacking. And I was like, oh, this is some new weird thing that you've picked up. Solo kayaking. All right.
I like solar clacking. But yeah, I was like, I'm going to be one with nature. I'm going to go out in a kayak. Turns out I don't want to be alone with nature. I want to be with a friend doing something else.
Good to know. I love where you're where I hear you going with this, and I want to make sure we have time for a couple of other questions and we can let you release back into your wild with friends here. But I hear you going to how things make you feel and paying exquisite attention to that as a way of looking for those small moments to lay down alongside whatever else is going on in the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be that. I mean, it's sometimes just socks and someone else brushing your hair if you're in the hospital. I love knowing that it's not sort of, you know, wizardry. Sometimes it's small concrete delights that make a day.
Yeah. This actually sets us up really nicely for my little riff on New Year's resolutions. I really like this idea. Instead of coming up with resolutions that are concrete, this is actually a great link back to what you were just saying so beautifully about hope, right? I have a really hard time with the word hope because the way that we use it is like hope in a specific outcome. I hope that my scans are clean. I hope that I make it home before rush hour. Like, we're hoping for a specific outcome, and things don't always work like that. That's a shadow agency that we do not have.
Yeah.
I really like hope in how I stay by myself, hope in how I feel, hope in how I take care of myself in whatever is ahead. Like, that's a kind of hope that feels functional to me instead of transactional. I like a functional hope rather than a transactional hope. And if we bring this back to New Year's resolutions, I talk about this a little bit in one of my books. Martha Beck talks about it in her book, Finding Your North Star. Danielle Laporte has spoken about this before. But as a New Year, end of New Year, or any kind of transition time, but since we're talking about resolutions, instead of looking at concrete, we'll lose 10 pounds, we'll gain 50, like whatever. Instead, looking at like, how do I want to feel in this coming year?
Mm-hmm.
How do I want to feel as I live through the things that I need to live through? And, you know, I have some thoughts on that, but I think that this is such a deeply personal thing for people. And that practice of asking yourself the question, knowing what I know, knowing what I cannot change, and what doesn't honestly feel very hopeful to me looking ahead, how do I want to feel meeting this life in this new year? I think that opens up more possibility for actual resolutions that mean something. And you don't need to be going through crisis to have, you know, to greet the close of the year in that way. I think it's a really kind and humane and supportive way to look at resolutions that doesn't tell you that you're failing somehow and you have to do things different. It's really more of like, can you get deeper into listening to yourself and start ordering your days and your moments in the small ways that you have power and control to help yourself feel the way that you want to feel, which is very different than looking for a specific outcome that we don't have a lot of control over.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. The hyper-instrumentalism of our culture. Mm. Yep.
Yeah. So we are winding up our time together. I want to let you get back into the math of your life, but I have two questions for you, and I would love to hear your responses for these. So what do you wish your doctors or your providers would have told you about grief anytime during this whole saga of the last several years for you?
I don't think they ever used the word grief. One time a PA said, the sooner I get used to dying, the better, which honestly was probably one of the worst things anyone's ever said to me. But I don't think anyone ever said grief or even that there would be a process that I'd be going through, because I was in that sort of short scan loop where everything just, it was sort of like living in the eternal present. I think that's something I learned by getting to know palliative care doctors and understanding that the word palliative gave us a bigger language for learning to work within the limits of our bodies and our hopes. And so I think I would have loved it if they just said, well, there's going to be versions of someone you might not be able to be anymore. And let's figure out what a beautiful version of your life looks like now. Just anything to mark the transition, I think, would have been a gift to me.
Yeah, just to name it, going back to what we had talked about earlier about acknowledgement, and the opposite of acknowledgement is invisibility.
Yes.
So being able to name what is actually happening in the room. Cool.
Yes,
I love
that's right.
That. And I hope that too. And last question, you are an educator, you are a teacher, you are a writer, all of these things. What do you want other educators to know about grief, either in this moment or in general? What do you want other educators to know?
I'm thankful that in this version, I teach at a divinity school. So, I mean, half the students go on to academic careers, but the others are the pastors or chaplains that sit with those who are really suffering. And so in that version, especially watching what they've done in the pandemic, they really did teach me about the courage of presence, how scared we are when our words fail, how much we wish we could always be that person who says and does the right things, but that the gift of so often like ministry or caring professions of any kind is what's truly in the courage of showing up and being willing to feel a little embarrassed of not always knowing and figuring it out together. Half the stories they tell me are of doing something unbelievably dumb and then the joy of becoming better. And I think learning to love the intense awkwardness of other people's bodies is such an education, but holy crap, we only learn it by when we show up.
I love that. And that's a beautiful end note for our time here together, embracing the awkward, right? Which is exactly what we do here. We only get that life that we want, where we feel seen and heard and companioned, and also feel like we have some skill in seeing and hearing, comparing other people.
Yeah.
If we embrace being awkward. So thanks for being awkward with me all the time, friend.
Oh, my dear. Thank you for having me. It is so fun to be off script with you.
Woo. The best stuff happens off script. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Kate, let everybody know where they can find you, whatever else you want people to know.
Oh, sure. I have a podcast called Everything Happens, which is very medium sad, and wherever podcasts are found. And they can find me online at Kate C. Bowler, and where I sometimes bless the crap out of people, but mostly just muse on the cultural scripts of life today. So I'd love to see people there.
Yeah, make sure you follow her on Instagram, everybody. We will have all of the ways that you can find Kate and the titles of all of her books in the show notes. Stay tuned after the break for things you can do to start practicing this whole showing up for pain thing we always talk about, and learn how you can submit your questions for me to answer next week. Don't miss that part, friends. Be right back.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Each week, I leave you with some questions to carry with you until we meet again. It's part of that whole, this awkward stuff gets a lot easier with more practice. So I want you to practice. This week, New Year's resolutions that actually mean something to you as you face the years ahead. Kate and I talked about that idea that you can make a resolution of how you want to feel in the year going forward rather than things that you want to see happen, right? Let's think about feelings-based resolutions instead of transaction vending machine resolutions. So for your, I don't really want to call it homework, even though we talked about math in this episode, but your assignment for this end of year season, start working on some how I want to feel resolutions. How do you want to feel in the days and weeks and months ahead? Those feelings-based resolutions are a lot more helpful, a lot less shame-based, and a lot more supportive than a transactional resolution. And a transactional resolution is things like, I will lose 15 pounds and then I will be happy, or I will overhaul the healthcare system and make sure that everybody gets paid leave. That's a whole other subject. So this week, New Year's resolutions that actually mean something. I don't even think you need a whole lot of direction for this week's questions to carry with you because we talked about it in the episode. I really would love you to play around with this idea of a feelings-based resolution for yourself for this New Year's time rather than a transactional do this so that I get better type thing. Really lean into how do you want to feel in the days and weeks and months ahead. Try that out, friends. Let me know how it goes. You know how most people are going to scan through the show description here and think, I do not want to talk about all that pain stuff? Well, here's where you come in. Your reviews let people know it really isn't all that bad in here. We talk about heavy stuff, but it's in the service of making things better for everyone. So everyone should listen. Spread the word in your workplace, in your social world, on social media, and click through to leave a review. Subscribe to the show, download episodes, and send in your questions. Want more hereafter? Grief education doesn't just belong to end-of-life issues. Life is full of losses, from everyday disappointments to events that clearly divide life into before and after. Learning how to talk about all that without cliches or platitudes or simplistic think-positive workplace posters, that's an important skill for everyone. Find trainings, workshops, books, and resources for every human trying to make their way in the world after something goes horribly wrong at megandevine.co. Hereafter with Megan Devine is written and produced by me, Megan Devine. Executive producer is Amy Brown, co-produced by Elizabeth Fazio, edited by Houston Tilley, and music provided by Wavecrush.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.